You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season has been, of course, very different, and today Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you are watching this season, whether you're watching for draft picks or whether you're rooting for the comeback, rattle off a few wins, get back to 500, get back in this thing, however you watch, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to Made for Football FootballWatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. And today, before we get into the meat of this episode, which is Crossover Thursday, Matt Derry of Locked On Lions is going to come hang out. We're going to learn a little bit about the Lions. It'll help us prime ourselves to do tomorrow's episode, which is going to be a more in-depth Lions preview. We'll talk about kind of how to game plan for them. But for now, we have to talk a little bit about the news, because there's some pretty big news for this particular matchup, and that is that Matthew Stafford is on the COVID-19 reserve list. I actually ask in that interview, I ask Matt about it, so we're going to table that for now, and we'll talk about our own injury report. Not a lot of surprises on the Wednesday injury report, though it should be noted that they did play, and the AJ Dillon COVID-19 situation did not cause them to shut down their facility. They practiced like normal. They had Mark Fields with a chest injury, DNP. He had the punctured lung in the game. Cameron Dantzler with a concussion, also DNP. Holton Hill still DNP with the foot. Mike Hughes was on the injury report last week too. He's the only one missing, and that's because he's gone on IR. Harrison Hand also working with a hamstring injury. He was limited, as well as Dan Chisina with a hip. Notably absent from this injury report is Chris Boyd. It turns out that his injury in that game was just a cramp, so he should be good to go, and at least that's one corner that we can count on for Sunday's game. But ultimately, the group of cornerbacks is going to be very, very limited again. You're going to have to rely on Harrison Hand, probably, unless he ends up not playing with a hamstring injury, but you'll have to rely on Jeff Gladney and Chris Boyd as your kind of main two corners, and they might have to even get Chris Jones in the mix or do things like what they did in the Packer game, like put Anthony Harris at nickel and have corners play outside, and then have Josh Metellus come in the game to play backup safety. Also, notably, Pat Elflein continues to practice. That is what is expected, although if he wasn't out there, you could have inferred some sort of setback. It's nice to know that nothing like that sort of setback has happened. Elflein is still in the 21-day window to be activated off of IR or go back on it for the rest of the season. Essentially, teams have 3 weeks once they take a player off of IR that they can practice with them and kind of feel it out. And if that player turns out to be healthy enough to play in a game, they can activate them, but they have to do so within 21 days. So the Vikings technically don't have to activate Pat Elflein this week, and if Ezra Cleveland's playing well, they might have even more incentive to be like mega patient about it. But if they think that Pat Elflein is ready to go and he is practicing for a second week, then they can activate him, take him off IR. And then we'd have to answer the questions about what happens when Pat Elflein comes back on the offensive line. But that is an interesting conversation to have. After all, Ezra Cleveland finally had a very good game, probably the best game by a right guard this season. And would the Vikings keep him in that right guard spot? Would they bench Pat Elflein, have him be a swing backup? Or would they have Pat Elflein take over for Dakota Dozier at left guard and have Dakota Dozier be the swing backup? That would look a lot more like what they did in 2019. And then the only change is Ezra Cleveland for Josh Klein at right guard. Either way, there's a lot to still sort of be sussed out with the way that the Vikings roster and depth chart shapes up for this game. But on the other side of things, in addition to the Matt Stafford, David Blau, Chase Daniel intrigue, there's a lot of revenge games going on, and things that might be worth monitoring is the emotional state of these guys. Adrian Peterson is coming back to US Bank Stadium. This will be his third game in US Bank Stadium as a member of a team other than the Vikings. He played here once in 2017 with the Saints, once in 2019 with Washington, and now he will be here with Detroit as one of their running backs. Everson Griffin, of course, is going to make his debut with the Lions, as a Lions pass rusher. They just lost Trey Flowers to injury as well, so Everson Griffin will likely take over a lot of snaps, might have an even bigger role than the one that he had in Dallas, though his performance in Dallas left a lot to be desired. And then, of course, Jayron Kearse, who very famously flamed his way out of Minnesota and made it pretty clear he did not like it in Minnesota and he wanted a chance to start. He hasn't really gotten that chance in Detroit so much. He's still been on very limited snap counts and kind of performing that same rotational defensive back, linebacker sort of hybrid role, but he will also be a face to watch over the course of this game to see if he has anything about playing his former team that juices him up a little bit extra. Listen, these revenge games aren't necessarily a storyline that I find particularly informative, and I don't really think that very often there's a lot as much bad blood as we think there is. For example, I mean, Everson Griffin has already started talking a little bit of trash, but he always talks a little trash. And with Everson Griffin, it's like pretty likely just like fun and not necessarily him like actually having some crazy vendetta because the Vikings didn't pay him enough or whatever. I think that Griffin is just excited to play against all his old guys, right? That's really fun. Like, aha, I'm going to go get you now this time. And I'm sure he'll trash talk a ton during the game like he always does. He's always had that personality. For Adrian Peterson, I think his time with the Vikings is so distant at this point. He hasn't been on the team since 2016 that there probably isn't much emotion there. And Jayron Kearse, even if there is some like bad blood or anything like that, he probably won't be on the field long enough. The way that the Lions have been configuring their secondary hasn't really utilized Jayron Kearse as much. So I don't think the revenge game thing is going to like affect this game very much. And if there is, you know, an effect of this game where the Lions like have a lot more energy or a lot more juice or something like that, it probably has to do with factors outside of the three former Vikings, most of whom are going to be in rotational in and out roles. But enough droning on about narratives that probably will be forgotten 2 seconds after the game is over. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up here. Matt Derry of Locked On Lions is set up here. We are going to talk to him about everything. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the Vikings. We'll do our little crossover thing here. It's Crossover Thursday, and that is the tradition. Now, if the Vikings win this game, they'll have a winning record against their divisional opponents for the first time since the middle of 2018 when they were 1-0-1 after beating the Lions and then they had tied with the Packers, and that summarily went to 1-1-1 and then fell apart as well. So the Vikings have been pretty poor against this division. It's been a little bit of a wall for them, and if you have a wall of your own, whether it's a mental or a physical wall, Built Go can be the thing that helps you break through that wall each and every day. Built Go is a workout bar supplement. It's like a workout gel. It comes in these little 1.5-ounce packages, and they're perfect for grabbing and going. You can put them in your golf bag, put them in your briefcase, whatever you need, and it's kind of like a 5-hour energy, but it comes without the crash because the energy comes from really, really natural sources. For one, it uses collagen protein, which is a fast-absorbing protein that's good for your joints, good for your soft tissue, good for your hair and your skin health, and it's loaded with all sorts of great stuff to give you a nice natural high of energy that won't come crashing down later like with sugar or too much caffeine. It has 10,000% of your daily intake of B6 and B12. It has beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a little kick, a responsible kick, if you will, of caffeine. So if you want to try it out for yourself, go to builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. All right, everybody, welcome in to Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network, our lovely weekly tradition. I'm Luke Braun with Locked On Vikings, now here with Matt Derry of Locked On Lions. And Matt, I guess we probably should talk about the big thing first. Who's going to play quarterback for this one? Is Stafford's on COVID IR now? Is he going to be ready for the game? And if not, is this Chase Daniel? Is this David Blau?
Luke, it's great to talk to you, buddy, as always. What a crazy week with, obviously, the election and everything else. And
sure.
Certainly, here's you guys with the Vikings getting a win, the Lions sort of in this weird purgatory. Didn't play well Sunday and now back below 500, 3-4. But like you mentioned, the big story is Matthew Stafford. If I had to guess right now, so on Wednesday, placed on the COVID IR list, Adam Schefter coming out and reporting that he doesn't have COVID, but was in contact with somebody Monday that has it. So it's a close contact situation. So he's got to be away from the team for 5 days. His wife, Kelly Stafford, no surprise, hops on Instagram and says, nobody in our house has it. Everybody's tested negative. So it appears, at least for now, Stafford's going to be away from the team, quarantining, taking tests, if they all come up negative, he would fly on his own on Saturday in a private jet. Or how, I mean, yeah, he's got plenty of money. Plenty of money. To Minnesota, join his teammates Sunday, wait 5 days. So that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So 5 days away from the team, basically wake up Sunday morning and hop on a bus or whatever with the team. And so I would assume he would still play on Sunday, even though he would not practice all week. And like you mentioned, Daniel and Blau would likely split the reps all week at practice. But does that really matter? He's been there 12 years and he's the guy. My guess is it'll be Stafford on Sunday.
Sure. Yeah. If he's available, it'd be Stafford. It's not like they would bench him because he didn't practice.
Right.
But I guess elsewhere on that offense, I mean, for one, we've got an old friend visiting US Bank Stadium in Adrian Peterson. But I think the skill players in general are really curious to me, you know, with Kenny Golladay won't be on this one. Right. And so you have Marvin Jones, maybe some Danny Amendola, and then whatever happens in that run game. How do you feel about those skill players? You know, the Vikings defense is not the monster that it used to be. And especially in that secondary, there's some stuff worth taking advantage of, especially with the injury report. So who should we look to on this Lions team to kind of be the guy that takes advantage of struggling rookies?
You know, you're talking about all these rookies and everybody at cornerback, and we're going to get into the Vikings certainly in the next segment, Luke, but I still think that what Darrell Bevell is going to try to establish, especially with Kenny Golladay out this Sunday, is Adrian Peterson. You know, Adrian coming back to Minnesota in the dome, I think they're going to try to feed him the football. Now, you look at his numbers since week one, and now here we are heading into week nine, but they've played seven games, 3 and 4. His yards per carry have gone down every single game. He had a monster, not a monster, but he had a very good opening game in the Lions loss to the Bears. And ever since then, it was like, all right, 5 yards a carry, then 4, then 3, then 2. I mean, now it's sliding way down to the point where last week, his numbers were very, very, you know, they were awful. I think it was something like 5 carries for 7 yards, something like that. So all of a sudden, Adrian Peterson went from in week one, like, wow, bell cow, old school Adrian Peterson to, can we get DeAndre Swift out there and let the old man sit on the bench? But he didn't sign with the Lions not to play. I think they're going to try to get him the football again this weekend and then maybe go play action off of that. Get T.J. Hockenson, the tight end, who's had a nice year in the mix. Marvin Jones has always had big games against the Vikings. Although Xavier Rhodes is gone, that was sort of Marvin Jones's guy. He'll
find a new one, I bet.
That's right. Although Marvin did score a touchdown this past Sunday, Luke, on Xavier Rhodes with the Colts. But that's my guess is that Peterson's going to get some more touches than he's had the last couple of weeks. Hockenson, Marvin Jones, DeAndre Swift out of the backfield. That's what you're looking at. And in taking Kenny Galladay's spot will be likely the rookie Quintez Cephus, the 5th-round pick, who's been inactive the last few weeks.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that still sounds like a mismatch in favor of the Lions to me, but I definitely understand your kind of concern with Adrian Peterson. He tends to black hole all the carries up to himself because the only way that Adrian Peterson kind of gets going in the game is by, you know, being the force that dominates the whole game. And if you can't really give Adrian Peterson 4 carries and hope for anything, he has to famine feast till he breaks one. So boy, am I familiar with that, but I want to switch to the defense. I want to ask you about Jeff Okuda. He was supposed to be this can't miss prospect, and it seems like he's struggled quite a bit up to this, you know, this first half of his rookie season. Now listen, rookie corners have been struggling all over the league, the lack of preseason. It seems excusable, but is it like as bad as it looks? Like he's getting outplayed by like Jalen. He's getting outplayed by Cameron Dantzler, who went in the 3rd round. That seems kind of wild.
I wouldn't say it's as bad as it looks. I would say the first couple of weeks were bad. He missed the opener against the Bears because of an injury. And then his first game was week 2 at Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers, and it just did not go well. His PFF score that week was abysmal, one of the worst. It was the lowest of any cornerback. So you're right. After 2 weeks, you're going, all right, injured the first week, and then the second week he gets lit up by Devontae Adams and everybody with the Packers, and you took him 3rd overall. You know, you mentioned Dantzler. Mm-hmm. There's other rookie corners out there. The Vikings have plenty of them. But the kid was taken number 3. So at 3, you have these high expectations. The last few weeks, he's played very well. He's improved. His numbers are better. He hasn't been picked on as much. Has he made a bunch of plays? No, but the Lions defense isn't very good. And you know, Sunday they went back to what they had done back in September and early October, which was not getting to the passer. You know, Phillip Rivers
and all of 2019
sacked one or two times. Yeah, as opposed to Matthew Stafford got sacked five. So no, I wouldn't say Okuda's been terrible. He's gotten better, but has he shown that he's worthy of a top three pick overall? No, he hasn't.
Yeah, and I guess last question about the defense, and we can flip this over to, you can start asking me some questions, but last thing about the defense is the Matt Patricia formula has been very strange, you know, and we just got out of a game where the Packers got caught in three-man rushes in the worst times, and that's been this problem in Green Bay over there. And it seems like Matt Patricia takes that to the next level. That's what he was doing last year. So as I go in and start to scout the Lions and start to kind of get to know them, am I going to see that same thing where they're doing 3-4-man rushes? They're not blitzing a lot. They're dropping a bunch of people into coverage and just sort of letting quarterbacks pick them apart. Is that the problem here? Or have they taken on a different character here in 2020?
The last 3 weeks have been a little bit different. It's been refreshing, at least in my opinion, because you're right. The drop, the rush 3-drop-8 routine was getting old, and the Lions weren't getting home. I think the first 5 weeks they had 6 sacks as a team. The last few weeks, Jacksonville 3 weeks ago, Atlanta 2 weeks ago, and even last week against the Colts, although it didn't work, the Lions were actually sending some people. You saw some linebackers blitzing. You saw some corners coming in. A delayed safety blitz now and then with Tracy Walker getting back there. But they can't get home consistently. Now you throw in the mix Trey Flowers out with a wrist injury for 3 weeks. He's been their, you know, their most solid defensive end. Romeo Okwara has been their best pass rusher, 95. He's played well. Now you throw Everson Griffin, who you know very well, Luke. He's going to have to play right away. Right away he's going to have to be in the mix. Sure. But, you know, they just – you know, it was Jacksonville and Atlanta, so they took advantage of that. Last week, the Colts offensive line did a great job of protecting Rivers. I don't know. This would be an interesting week to see what they do and how much they go after Kirk Cousins, who obviously, when there's pressure in his face, is not the same guy. But of course, last few weeks have been a little bit different, yes. But this past Sunday against the Colts, the defense just got ransacked at the end of the game. They were exhausted, beaten up pretty much in the run game. Then you take Flowers out of the game with the injury. Secondary is still mediocre, and the linebackers are bad. So we'll see. You know, Jared Davis is also on this COVID reserve list. I don't know how serious that is. He's been sort of a blitzing linebacker. We'll see. But no, they went back this past Sunday to being a team. Obviously, they gave up 40 points. That's not going to get it done.
Yeah, I feel like that's a better use for Jared Davis, because I feel like the Lions have tried to make too many pass rushing type linebackers into cover linebackers, and it's been a thing that hasn't been working. And of course, you know, we're familiar with Everson Griffin, and we're familiar with getting blitzed a lot. The teams have been trying to blitz Kirk Cousins a lot and force him into making mistakes, and it worked out pretty well to this point in the season since they're 2-5. But hey, let's put a pin in all of that, and we'll talk about the Vikings here in just a second. So everybody stick around.
I'm Matt Derry, Locked On Lions, on the Locked On Crossover Thursday edition with Luke Braun from Locked On Vikings. We talked a little Lions. Let's talk some Vikings. Luke, you know, in the offseason when we got together with the NFC North crew on some shows, I was always a Vikings guy. I always said Minnesota.
Yeah, you were more bullish on them than me. Yeah.
I know I was. And what's gone wrong, man? I know that the injuries have been killer. You know, you take Danielle Hunter out of there with the neck stuff, and Dalvin Cook's been out. What else has not worked? Why is this team 2-5 in your mind?
Well, yeah, I mean, they lost like 10 good players from the team that made the playoffs last year. You know, you lose Everson Griffin, and who knows if he would have played as well if he stayed, but Everson Griffin was a strong force for the 2019 Vikings that they have not replaced. They lost Danielle Hunter. They lost Anthony Barr. With that goes a ton of their ability to get pressure. I mean, they are basically playing what was the second team offensive line or defensive line. You know, their defense in a lot of places looks like about the third quarter of a preseason game. And it has kind of, it's played out that way. So they haven't been able to get any pressure, and therefore they haven't been able to protect their rookie cornerbacks. Zimmer's been doing what he can by having safeties play over top and kind of reducing the responsibilities that they have. But even he's getting annoyed with that. And even he said, you know, at a certain point you have to go play corner. And these rookies are coming along slowly, as they always do in Zimmer's system, but that's even more exacerbated by not having a preseason. So defensively, it's just, I mean, if you just look at the roster up and down, they only have maybe four good players, depending on what you think of Ifeanyi Odenigbo. It's really, really bleak roster-wise, and Zimmer just doesn't have the horses to make a good defense. He can scheme it up as much as you can, but at a certain point, the corners have to play corner, and when you're starting rookies, and I mean, and they're on their seventh, eighth cornerback. They ran out of cornerbacks against Green Bay last week. They had to have Anthony Paris play in the nickel, and they had to have Eric Kendricks play slot corner on Devontae Adams one-on-one. I mean, it's really, really like down to the depths. And then offensively, the offense has been playing very well. Dalvin Cook is still Dalvin Cook. Justin Jefferson's been a revelation. Kirk Cousins throws inexplicable interceptions three times a game. And then, you know, the rest of the offensive performance doesn't really matter anymore because he kind of threw away two or three drives. Kirk Cousins has been very, very mistake prone. And it's kind of a regression on the low interception total he had last year.
It's crazy because a year ago, you guys going to New Orleans and win a playoff game on the road, something Lions fans would just die to see. And Cousins played so well in that game and almost kind of shut up the doubters. And it was the, all right, Kirk Cousins has done it. He's slayed the dragon. He's done all these things. And then you're right. Like, he's gone back to sort of a regression this year. Why do you think that is? How's the O-line in front of him? And obviously getting Cook back this past Sunday made up for some of those mistakes, huh?
Yeah, getting Cook back was helpful. The Sunday's game against Green Bay was a little bit warped because it was too windy to throw. They're like 40-mile-per-hour winds, so everything kind of had to happen on the ground, and Dalvin Cook sort of took that one over against those Green Bay linebackers. But the problem with Kirk Cousins, I think, is that he's trying a little bit to play hero ball, and he's been forcing things into too tight of windows, which has always been a thing of his, and it's just getting punished more. Kirk's a high variance quarterback. He just has these streaks where he just forgets how to play football, and then suddenly on a dime, he turns it around, and suddenly he's a Pro Bowl quarterback. They didn't need to ask much of him last week. That's pretty nice. And if they have to ask more of him this week, then there's an opportunity to create turnovers or dumb strip sacks, or, you know, he'll try to force it past a linebacker that has more range than he thought. And that, I think those mistakes, I mean, there's not much you can do about it from a coaching perspective or anything. You just kind of have to tell him to stop doing that and hope that he does.
Do you think Luke Braun, by the way, Locked On Vikings, Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. Do you think Everson Griffin has enough left in the tank? Will he help the Lions, do you think?
If you ask me based on what I saw in 2019, I would say that is definitely not a guy in his last good year. But the cliff comes up on you quick, right? I mean, Dallas was thrilled to get rid of him, especially for that contract. That isn't that bad. I mean, it's $6 million. Like, that's not that bad in this cap environment. And Dallas was like thrilled to get rid of half of that. So your guess is as good as mine. We'll see if your usage of him is better, but I believe that your defense is pretty similar to Dallas's defense schematically. So it's not like you're going to have him go do some different responsibility. I the worst part of me kind of hopes he turns it around. Everson Griffin's one of my favorite players of all time, but maybe he could wait a week if, you know, dude, get after that next week, maybe.
All right. So the Lions always seem to, it doesn't matter what Kyle Rudolph's doing the rest of the season. He just seems to always find a way into the end zone against the Lions. And that Vikings offense you mentioned still pretty good. And Jefferson, the rookies, played well. How are they utilizing the tight ends? What do you expect the Vikings to try to do against Detroit on Sunday?
Yeah, the tight ends haven't been doing too much. Kyle Rudolph is kind of in the late career Jason Witten role by now. You know, just be the leak on rollouts, be a stick route. He can run a good route. He can get separation, but he doesn't have necessarily the athleticism to do anything explosive. I think the days of him like running down this, well, I guess he's gotten some like seam routes and some deep stuff. And found some holes in zones, but it's all very veteran savvy stuff. He's not like the move tight end threat that somebody like an Irv Smith is. And Irv Smith has had his ups and downs. He's had some games where he's disappeared. He's had some games where he's been a solid role player. But I think the highlight of this offense, at least in the passing game, is Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. If you can't cover those two guys, there's no need for the tight ends. And that has happened in a couple of games where Justin Jefferson just gets every pass. And why would you stop throwing to him? Because the other team hasn't been able to figure him out. He's been a total revelation. It's been right back to the Diggs and Thielen double threat thing. And really lucky, honestly, for the Vikings that they were able to kind of replace him without missing too much of a beat.
All right. So, you know, who knows what Stafford's going to look like, you know, no Galladay, no Trey Flowers. I have a hard time thinking that the Lions are going to win this game, but again, they have a better record than Minnesota. And what you're telling me about the Vikings defense, if Stafford's healthy, this could be a shootout. This could be a really, really high scoring game. What do you think?
For sure. I'm looking for the betting line right now, but yeah, no, this is not the Vikings team that has beaten the Lions however many times in a row or whatever. This is not the Zimmer Vikings teams of, you know, 2017 and 2018 that were totally unstoppable. Like, you guys did get a win in against that 2017 team, but no, this is not the, I can't find it. I think it's something like the Vikings favored by like 2.5 or something like that, which seems pretty fair. I kind of feel bullish on them now after they went and beat Green Bay. They kind of figured it out. They won in a weird game against a superior opponent. They showed they could have some fight, and I think they're going to come out with a little bit more life. I could definitely see this being a high-scoring game for sure, though. So a shootout kind of back and forth and maybe comes down to the wire, which I suppose has mixed results against Detroit in this matchup. So I guess I'll take the Vikings but I won't take them to cover. Let's go with that.
Like a first team to 40, like 40 to 39 final.
They're owed a win by one. They've lost by one a couple times. We got to win by one now.
There you go. Luke Braun, Locked On Vikings. Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. It's been the Thursday crossover. Always great to talk
what's
to
yours?
Luke.
What's your prediction?
I would say, I mean, you know, when I saw Stafford on Wednesday, maybe not being able to play. I mean, the way the Lions have played without him, there's Chase Daniel is an upgrade, but, you know, I'll say Minnesota as well will win like a 37-34 game. I have a feeling that the Lions are going to have a hard time with your receivers. And like you mentioned, Irv Smith. And so that's where I'm going with it.
Dalvin Cook run game. That's white hot right now.
That's all. Oh yeah. That's also true. So, all right, brother. Great to talk to you.
Great talking to you. Thanks so much, Matt. All right. Tomorrow, we're going to follow up on a couple of things that Matt said in this, but mostly we're just going to preview the Lions. We're going to try to get to know them. We're going to watch some tape. We're going to scout them like we were the Vikings. So if you are interested in that, come hang out on tomorrow's iteration of the show. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at LockedOnVikings. Today's show, of course, is brought to you by Pepsi, made for football watching. And as always, Skol.